Hi, everybody. I'm Arun Vanigopal, in for Tanzina Vega, and this is The Takeaway. For the past few weeks, fires in the Amazon have been burning at a rate not seen in years. Brazil's Space Research Center reported a 77% increase in fires this year compared to 2018. And climate scientists worry that large parts of this rainforest, which is critical to capturing carbon dioxide, will not be recoverable. The president of Brazil, Jair Bolsonaro, has long been an ally of industries that want to use farm, mine, and log land in the Amazon rainforest. And he has supported rolling back environmental regulations for the Amazon. And while international leaders are calling on Bolsonaro to address the crisis, so far the Brazilian president has remained defiant. For more on this, I'm joined by Ernesto Londoño, the New York Times' Brazil bureau chief. Welcome back to The Takeaway.
Happy to be with you.
Can you put the magnitude of these fires into context? Have we seen fires of this scale in the Amazon before?
We actually have, but not in quite some time. The tens of thousands of fires that have been burning so far this month mark at least a 10-year high. So people here in Brazil and out in the world are understandably concerned about the implications of these fires. However, I think it's important to note that it's part of a cycle that happens in Brazil every year as farmers prepare land for crops and for cattle grazing. What's different is that this debate is unfolding at a time when much of the world is really worried about climate change, and now the spotlight is on Brazil.
So let's talk a little more about the contributors. You mentioned cattle grazing and crops. To what extent are these being ramped up under the current government?
President Jair Bolsonaro, who was elected last year, campaigned on a promise to loosen environmental regulations and make it easier for people to go into protected lands. He felt that environmentalists had sort of won the debate some decades ago and that it was time to tip the scales. And since he's been in office, we've seen him press that issue very, very assertively. And what that looks like on the ground is, I think many people, if they go out and take land, even illegally, what they're doing is creating facts on the ground and that the laws will eventually catch up with what they're doing.
So how much would you say the international attention to these fires has actually prompted the government to act?
I don't think Brazil has seen a reckoning this fierce over its environmental policies in many years. However, it's a debate that many in the country, including the president, doesn't seem eager to have. Brazil historically has been very, very protective of its sovereignty and has resented efforts in the past to sort of put the Amazon on trial as something that should be negotiated and whose fate should be decided as though it were a piece of world heritage.
Now, members of the G7 have pledged their support in the form of $20 million to help fight these fires. But President Bolsonaro has so far rejected the money. Why?
I think it boils down to the way French President Emmanuel Macron build this. I think when he sounded the alarm in terms that Brazil found unreasonably stark and menacing last week, it put the Brazilians in a defensive crouch. You know, however, I think there is a recognition that more resources are needed, that the environmental agencies in Brazil have been weakened and are kind of running on fumes in much of the country. So in some parts of the government, there's a recognition that additional resources would be very welcome. However, what we don't have is a consensus about, you know, whether the country, in fact, is ready to start sending people out in the Amazon about whether what they're doing, you know, is going to be backed by the most powerful leader in the country.
Ernesto, a report in CNN notes that the fires have subsided in recent days and are now back to relatively normal levels for this time of the year. Can you see this issue receding from the world stage anytime soon?
I think it depends. I think we still need clarity on the scope of the fires. We have the number of fires that have been identified from space, but we don't yet have a clear understanding of how extensive they were. I think the story will shift, you know, what happens politically. There's been a mobilization, particularly in the left, to get the government to make some firm commitments on the environment. there's been something of a mutiny among public servants who work for the environmental agencies. They've put forward a very interesting, compelling letter essentially saying that they are demoralized, outnumbered, and outgunned. We're going to have to see whether politically the needle shifts or whether attention from the world recedes. It's also important to note that the fire season is just getting started. And I think as long as many fires are burning, it's going to be hard for the politicians to shift attention elsewhere.
Now, you've said that the environmental protection laws that existed for decades really took shape, I guess, in a different era. Can you tell me a little about those protections?
Sure. It's important to be mindful of the history. Brazil started making a big effort to develop and populate the Amazon states back in the 70s during the era of military dictatorship. The government encouraged people to move to the Amazon, and it built a road that cut through the rainforest. That planted the seeds for an era of runaway deforestation, where this area, this vast area, essentially became kind of the law of the jungle, with people going in and making a buck any way they saw fit without any real rules of the game. When Brazil enters a democratic era in the 80s, its constitution puts a very strong emphasis on environmental protections and creates a system to set aside very large parts of the country as indigenous territories and environmental reserves. But over the years, you know, sometimes the government has enforced those laws with greater enthusiasm than others. And over the past few years, when the economy has been sputtering, the emphasis has been to, you know, allow people to go into these areas and make some money, and protecting the environment has sort of taken a back seat.
Now, regardless of where one stands politically on issues like mining or farming, fires are not something that we normally would think of as politically popular, regardless of who you are. What is Bolsonaro's political base, his supporters, what do they want him to do about these fires?
I think it's a mixed bag. I think some of the people living in the Amazon have told us, you know, this is routine. This is just kind of part of the cycle of preparing the land for harvest or for cattle grazing. You know, this is not the kind of wildfires that are sort of engulfing, you know, inhabited areas and destroying property. So, you know, some people think this worldwide outrage is kind of crazy for people who don't understand that, you know, those of us living here have families to support. We need to put food on the table. And, you know, this is the way it works. If we're going to produce meat and export meat, if we're going to, you know, export soy, this is the way it's done. However, on the other hand, I think a lot of Brazilians have become deeply concerned that, you know, that within a few generations, the Amazon, which is precious and unique and irreplaceable, may cease to exist.
How about indigenous communities? Are you seeing a vocal outcry from indigenous communities who populate the Amazon?
Absolutely. I think indigenous leaders see an existential threat in President Bolsonaro. He has compared those of them that live in remote areas to animals living in a zoo, and has essentially said that they need to be wooed out of the forest and inserted into mainstream capitalist society. You know, in many of these cases, we're talking about indigenous communities that have very few people left. You know, some have no more than 200 people left in their communities. The warnings we hear from them are that they feel that this amounts to a slow rolling genocide.
Ernesto Londoño is the Brazil bureau chief for the New York Times. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me.